Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
Happy weekend, Frank Rush here. It's good to have you along for another Focus on Community. By the way, don't forget, if you missed any part of today's program, want to hear it back again, we always have it available for you to either stream or download as a podcast on our website. Should be there right now, as a matter of fact. We're going to talk about mentoring and what kids need when it comes to mentoring and some of the programs across the state. Tammy Silverman from Indiana Youth Institute, otherwise known as IYI, joins us today. How you doing?
I am great. A little chilly. I was going to put great and cold together. So gold, perhaps. I'm good. It's good to be with you.
In spite of the pandemic and everything, you're still functioning, I guess, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There are still kids out there that need support, as well as youth workers and teachers and all those folks. So absolutely, we are still functioning.
You know, this kind of gets us a little bit off the beaten path earlier, and I promise we'll get to the topic and subject here in a second. But how much harder is it for you guys to do your studies and do your work and come up with the data that you need when, I mean, okay, granted, a lot of stuff can be done by email and online, but I mean, a lot of what you do is a lot of in-person, person-to-person exchange of information. And how are you doing it now?
It is. Well, you know, we're doing so, like so many people, right? We're doing it on Zoom calls and Teams calls and all those kinds of things. And yet, I will tell you, we're hearing from the field that a lot of the people we work with, again, after school providers and teachers and coaches, they are missing that connection. You know, they're feeling kind of out there on their own in many circumstances. So it is tough, right? I think we're doing the best we can with all of those technology solutions, but it's not the same. It's certainly not the same.
And it's like that, I mean, all across the board, because a lot of us at first kind of thought, hey, this is okay. I don't have to deal with some of these people. Because let's face it, there is somebody that you work with that you find irritating. There's one in every office, you know, and there's not much you can do about it. You just kind of got to grin and bear it and put up with them. But now you don't have to. They're not there. But we're finding out now that, well, okay, maybe that little constant irritation was somewhat entertaining and we're missing out on that.
But we're social beings, right? Yeah. And we're missing, you know, if you show up just in time for the Zoom calls and or whatever, you're not having those side conversations. You know, you and I just had a chat before this that was great, right? And
yeah.
People are missing out on those hallway conversations, the pre-meeting, post-meeting, you know, walking back and forth, bumping into each other, you know, in the elevator kind of thing that we're missing.
And we're finding out, too, that, I mean, okay, let's face it, if you don't have to go to work, things are a little different. The expectations are a little different. When you do the Zoom calls and stuff, you're still expected to wear pants because you never know what could happen. So
I hope to goodness everyone on our team is wearing pants. Yes, I hope so.
Or at least they choose not to rise at an unexpected moment, you know, because they want to go refill their coffee cup or whatever. Because a lot of stuff now is, well, it's just different. So anyway, all right. So we know that it's a little bit harder for you guys to get your info, but with any luck at all, we'll all be able to get back to some kind of normal here, not in the not too distant future. One of the things that's going on now too is mentoring, and Mentor Indiana celebrating their National Mentoring Month, which is really kind of a big deal.
It is. And you know, obviously mentoring happens year round, but like so many things, we take one month to really try to focus on it, highlight it, and hopefully entice a few folks that may, you know, have some point thought, gosh, maybe I want to do that, into taking that step forward. So, you know, this is a month that we highlight the great benefits of mentoring. We talk about what it is, what it isn't. Sometimes people think it's tutoring, which mentoring is not. You don't have to be an expert in any of those subjects that might give you some that pit in your stomach kind of thing. And really highlight the benefits to kids, because they're considerable.
And right now, mentoring is probably harder to do and more important than ever because of the separation and everything that's going on.
You are 100% right. Again, a lot of times, you know, we know that kids need supporting adults, right? And they need a network of those. They don't just need, you know, it's better if they have more than one or two. And they often get a lot of that through school interactions, right? Whether that's usually teachers and coaches. But if they're not there as much, or if there aren't as many after-school activities going on, they may not be getting that, what we call like informal mentoring and support. So these mentors, where it's one-on-one, and they can, many of the programs have adapted to a virtual environment. Again, they're super eager to get back to in-person, But, you know, they've adapted. This has been a lifeline for so many kids.
You know, you said early on there, just a second or so ago, that mentoring is not tutoring. And I'd almost beg to differ with you on that, because I think it may not be tutoring in the traditional as Merriam-Webster definition, but you really are teaching kids, maybe just not a math class.
I'll take that adaptation, Frank. I will willingly accept that, because you're right. One of the things that we know is that mentors are great at talking about, you know, and having those conversations about how do you show up at work? How do you show up with a good work ethic? How do you show up? How do you wrap your head around if you're having a disagreement with a friend? That is tutoring, but it's tutoring more in life skills and in preparedness skills, perhaps, than in some particular subject. I will willingly accept that.
And as things change over time, it's come to turn out, well, really it turns out, mentoring is even more important now than it used to be. Because let's face it, the family setting has certainly changed, because we used to be, I would say, in some ways more isolated because the family unit was much tighter and the parents were there, the older brothers and sisters were there. Nowadays, though, with split families and just the way society is as a whole, constantly on the run and many times running in all different directions, that makes mentoring more important now than ever, because those things that you were getting at home, you're not. So that's why the mentors really matter.
Absolutely. There's certainly that. And or if, you know, we used to have a lot of bowling leagues. We had, you know, families would go as a family and hang out somewhere at the, you know, whether it was bowling alley or whether they were hanging out at the VFW hall, whatever those things were. And then they were getting that mentoring by being around other adults, right? So maybe not just your parents, but maybe it was your parents' friends. And getting that, again, it's all about kids interacting with supportive, caring adults, and mentoring is a great way to do that.
I know that some of the data that you guys look at is showing the kids like 18 to 29, they're talking now like this is really much more important to them than folks like in my age group, the over 50 crowd, because it's like, well, we didn't have that back then. But nowadays, mentoring is becoming more common. The ones that actually benefit from it, they're coming out and saying, yeah, this really does work for me.
They do. They love it. The mentees love it. But I'll tell you what else. The mentors love it as well. You know, it's funny because when we talk about that, is it tutoring? You know, one of the things we hear a lot, which is tangible, is that the mentees, the young people, are helping the mentors, particularly with technology. And the mentors feel like they're more up to date and they're more on top of things, that kind of thing. But then there's that, it just keeps you young and energized and all that. So it's a two-way street where the benefits go back and forth for sure.
Mentoring programs really benefit if there is a pretty well defined, spelled out way that the system works. I mean, each program's different, and each program probably has a little bit different expectation. But it's important, though, that a lot of this stuff is spelled out as opposed to just winging it, right?
100%. And, you know, I think we can, a lot of the kids that benefit most from mentoring have probably experienced some adults in their lives that have let them down. So you certainly don't want this to be another one of those cases, right? So they need it to be reliable. The mentors who are volunteering their time want it to be logical and respectful of their time. They want to know what they're getting into. They want some support and training. And so it's really important that you think a program has thought through those things, because if you don't, you can unintentionally cause harm and frustration to both the mentee and the mentor.
So where do you look for a mentoring program at, and what makes a good one? Because, I mean, you know, anybody can just kind of go out there and kind of, you know, throw a dart against a board and hope you get lucky. But really, what's a good program and where do you look for one at?
Yeah, two separate questions, both incredibly important. So first and foremost, a few things. There are really five big buckets that make a good program. First is that we set those expectations on both sides. Everyone knows what they're getting into upfront, right? And then there's screening, right? So again, that we understand, the mentor understands what's being asked of them, when they might meet, what that includes. Then there's best practices. Is it talking to them face-to-face, right? Like, this shouldn't just be on paper, did you send in a volunteer application? You know, and then there's some of that criminal background due diligence work that needs to be done. And then there's training. And so before you just throw together a child and an adult, make sure, again, that we're preparing them. You know, one of the best stories that I've heard is a mentor the mentee was having a rough day and had had a rough day with one of his friends, and he just basically shut down, right? Which is a normal child development reaction. The mentor took it very personally. He said, this kid wouldn't talk to me the whole thing. I think I'm done. And you're like, no. If you understand that that's a normal reaction, like teachers do, teachers get a lot of training in youth development, right? There are ways and techniques to help you interact. And finally, you know, there needs to be that ongoing support. Things will happen. A mentor might need to, you know, maybe their life changes and they can't do it anymore. Maybe they get a new job and they need to move. You know, whatever that is, we need to make sure we're closing out that relationship in a way that both celebrates the mentor who volunteered and helps the kid move on to another mentor if needed.
So who needs to be mentored? I'll give you that. But okay, so let's go both sides. Let's go to the kid side first. Let's go to the adult side first. The mentor and the mentee, and which one? Yep. Let's start with the kids. Who would benefit from a mentoring program?
Yep. So we know that kids who have mentors are more likely to be enrolled in college. So if you flip that, right, kids who are at risk of dropping out or not being prepared on a post-secondary path, college certificate, whatever that might be, kids who aren't engaged in their school, we know that kids that have a mentor are 81% more likely to participate in school activities. So if you have a kid that is reluctant to do that or hasn't done that or doesn't have a pathway to do that, those are the kids that need mentors. Again, if your kid needs to develop some leadership skills, mentoring is a great way to do that. They're more than twice as likely to hold a leadership position in a club or sports team because they have somebody cheering them on and telling them they can do it, right? So kids that have some of those hurdles and barriers and that need that extra push benefit the most. But I would say all kids can benefit.
And kids don't necessarily have to be from broken, non-supportive homes to benefit from mentoring. This is not necessarily for those kids that are in trouble like that.
No, absolutely. You're 100% right. This isn't a substitute for, you know, this isn't a substitute parent. It's not a substitute caregiver. You know, this is an added support, and every kid needs that network of support. Maybe you're, you know, new to an area and you know, the kid, you're not near family members to provide that support. Every kid can benefit from it. It is not only for kids that are struggling in one particular area or the other.
So who makes a good mentor? I mean, obviously, if you are younger in years, if you're in your mid to upper 20s, low 30s, you don't have a lot of life experience when it comes to family. In most cases, this isn't, you know, 100%, as opposed to somebody who's 50 and has already raised a couple, three kids and put them through college and out the door. So who, though, makes a good mentor?
Yeah, I think it's not so much age specific as it is intent specific, if that makes sense, because there's a great program. It's a national program, but it's based out of Indiana called College Mentors for Kids. And it does pair up those college kids with young kids, but it also sets those realistic expectations. They're not going to walk you through life experience, but boy, can they talk to you about taking a leadership role or working through issues with friends, those kinds of things. So it's all about, are you dedicated? Do you have time? Do you have clear expectations? Do you think that if you show up once a week for a month that the rainbows and ponies are going to jump out of the sky? you have to have clear expectations. You have to be willing to accept, you know, somebody that's different than you, and you have to be flexible. And if you can do those things, there's a good chance you could be a good mentor.
Obviously, you probably need to get along well with kids, too. If you don't care for kids that much, it might be a little challenging for you to do something like this.
Might not be your thing. Yeah. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. They are kids, and that comes with a whole bunch of different normal things that we just have to work through when we're working with kids.
So you obviously probably want to find a program or something, but where do you find the programs? You don't just call up the school and say, hey, I want to do a mentor thing, or you don't just stick a sign out on the phone pole at an intersection, mentor for hire. What do you do? How do you get involved? You know?
Do not do the poll. That would seem a little creepy. So I would say there's a few different ways. Most of the mentoring programs are nonprofit organizations. organizations. And we have a way to identify those on our website, which is iyi.org/mentor Indiana. And you can type in your zip code and it'll tell you about some programs in your area. In addition, most community foundations, every Indiana community has a fantastic community foundation. They know a lot of those, as do your local United Way. So you can make, and a lot of the schools do as well. So you can make a phone call and ask, what are my options? You can also look online and see what's in your area.
And they can also help you pinpoint what kind of time commitment is needed, not only for the person to provide the mentor service, but also for the kids who are looking for mentors. Maybe they can also figure out just how much time a week that they would actually spend in a program like this. It kind of more clearly defines, like you said, what's expected on both sides of the aisle here, right?
Absolutely. We don't want, you know, surprises. We want to avoid any surprises that might be out there where people said, you know, nobody told me or I didn't know. We want to make sure those expectations are very clear up front. And when we do that, when the programs have done that, we've seen, again, it be wildly successful for both the adult and the child.
IYI.org is your website, and you'll find all kinds of cool stuff there, right?
Thank you. Yes, we try. We try very hard, and there's tons, probably more than anybody would digest in one sitting.
Because you guys love numbers and data and all that kind of stuff.
We do. We're data wonks, that's for sure. We like that evidence and real facts, right? That's kind of our thing.
And I will say, though, that, okay, yeah, if you really want to get, you know, to be a doctorate in wonky, that's, you can go there and do that if you want. But most of the info that you have on there is pretty easily digestible by normal, regular folks, right?
Thank you. That's our intent. So we do want it to be all research and data-based, and yet we want it to be practical. If you can't do something with the data and research, you know, it needs to be actionable. We want it to be put into action to actually help kids in our community.
And refreshingly, you guys don't really try to push an agenda or an opinion, which I think is kind of neat in today's society. It's kind of different, too.
Right. Well, and every community is different, right? And every community and kids are different. We want to make sure you have all the information to make the decisions that are right for you.
Tammy Silverman with IYI.org, the Indiana Youth Institute. Check out their website. Lots of good info there. And that wraps up this week's show. Again, talking about mentoring this week. If you missed part of it, want to hear it back and see what you missed, head to our website. It's available for you right there, right now, as a podcast. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.